On a battlefield one day, a charge was given to a soldier in a land so far from home. To climb the hill meant death was surely waiting. Determined, he decided to press on. In his mind, he pictured people walking in freedom, all because of the price that he would pay. His life, a sacrifice by his own choosing. But oh, what a victory that day. He took the hill, a perfect soldier. He took the hill. Now the battle's over. Our flag was raised. The price was paid. His task fulfilled. He took the hill. On a battlefield for souls, the charge was given to a soldier in a land so far from home. Calvary's climb meant death was surely waiting, but determined, he decided to press on. In his mind, he pictured people living in heaven, all because of the price that he would pay. His life, a sacrifice by his own choosing. But oh, what a victory that day. He took the hill, heaven soldier. He took the hill. Now the battle's over. The cross was raised. Sin's debt was paid. God's love fulfilled. He took the hill. The cross was raised. Sin's debt was paid. God's love fulfilled. He took the hill.
Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Green, for the song. And I don't know if you, when you woke up this morning, if this day meant as much to you as it does to me. I love our country. I love America. I love everything it stands for. And I hope that you do too. You know, Abraham Lincoln made a statement years ago, about 150 years ago, and said America would not be destroyed, ever be destroyed from outside. That if America ever falters, we will destroy ourselves. And you know, the unfortunate thing is, here's a man that made that statement nearly 150 years ago, didn't claim to be a prophet, but he knew human nature. And he knew that if America falters, it will not be from outside, it will be from within. God bless you for being here. Take your Bible, if you would please, with me this morning. Two passages of Scripture, Exodus 1 and Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 12. You know, America is not the only country and the only people on planet Earth that's ever experienced freedom. You know, the people of God experienced freedom as well. And they had been in captivity for 400 years. They had been under Egyptian rule. They had been slaves to taskmasters for years and years and generation after generation. And I want you to read with me, if you would, this morning in Exodus chapter 1. Would you stand with me as we begin to read in verse number 7? of Exodus chapter number 1. The scripture says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." And we don't have time to read the portion of Scripture that and what happens between Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 12. But to put everything in a nutshell here, God sent a man by the name of Moses back to Egypt to deliver them. He went in on 10 different occasions and told Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and he would not let them go until the last time. There the death angel passed over Egypt, and all the firstborn was taken, even the son of Pharaoh. Well, God delivered the people of Israel, and can you imagine how they felt walking out of Egypt? Matter of fact, it was such a glorious day, the Egyptians said, "Here, take what you want. Just get out." And they began to take things and garments. And of course, we know later God would use those things to build him a dwelling place, financed by the world. And so they left. And I want to pick up reading now, if I could, in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 40. The Bible says, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." Freedom. Glory to God. We're free. We're not in bondage anymore. Now I want you to notice, because here's our text verse. Verse 42. The scripture says, "It is a night to be much observed. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." I would say it would be a night to be much observed. After you've been in bondage for 400 years, after you've been in slavery, after you've been under the taskmaster's whip, after you've been told when you can sleep and when you can't, when you can eat, when you can't eat, and God deliver them, the scripture says it was a night to be much remembered. And I want to take that statement, except I want to say this to you today on this July the 4th, Independence Day in America. It's a day to be much observed. It's a day to be much observed. Father, have thine own way, we pray, in this service. Bless, stir our hearts, I pray. And thank you for allowing us to be in this country and for putting us here by your divine providence. Now we ask now, teach us something from this passage and from this story. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. There is no more proud people in the world than the people of Israel. They were proud people. I don't mean necessarily in a bad way. They were proud of their heritage. They were proud of their roots. And God, out of His divine providence, reached down after 400 years of captivity and set them free. Can you imagine as they hopped and skipped out of the land of Egypt, how exciting they were, having never experienced freedom before? And they left the land of Egypt, And the Scripture says it was a night to be much remembered. They never forgot it. They taught their kids and their grandkids and their great-grandkids. Listen to me. No other story in the Old Testament referred to more than the deliverance of the people of God from Egyptian bondage. Over and over and over, God brings that story up to the people of God for us to remember. Why? Because it was a night to be much observed. You know why? Because, listen, man didn't deliver them. God delivered them. It was their only hope for freedom. It was their only hope for deliverance was the hand of God. I can imagine the excitement that they had being free. But may I say to you this morning, I love America. It's the most loved nation on the earth, while at the same time it's the most hated nation on the earth. The driving force behind this love and this hate is freedom. We're loved because we're a free country. We're hated because of our freedom. You see, America is the land of the free. Displayed all over our country, dear folks, are symbols and monuments of freedoms, such as the most noticeable flag on planet Earth, the American flag. That's a symbol. It symbolizes our freedom. It symbolizes the blood of millions and millions of young men and young ladies that have sacrificed their life so that you and I could sit here this morning in a free country, in a free service, open our Bible out without anybody walking in the back door saying, you've got to close your Bible. You can't have the Bible open and read in public. That's a symbol of freedom. The most recognizable flag on planet Earth. Everywhere we see the United States of America, that flag being flown. It's flown at businesses, at schools. It's flown even on the Capitol steps. It's flown everywhere. Why? Because that is the most recognizable symbol of freedom that we have. New York Harbor stands a Statue of Liberty. That Statue of Liberty is another symbol of our freedom. And yet there are evil people, that if they had that chance, they'd blow that thing up in a heartbeat. If they could have the opportunity, listen, they'd rip every flag down in the United States of America. That's the reason, my dear friend, I get stirred up when I see people take the American flag and walk on it and burn it and step on it and trash it. Now you listen to me. I'm not talking about heathens. I'm talking about people that claim to be Americans are doing that. Tell you one thing, it wouldn't take but a one-way ticket to a country where there was no freedom. They'd change their tune. That Statue of Liberty that stands in New York Harbor, another symbol of freedom. The Liberty Bell and the Independence Hall in Philadelphia. I don't know about you folks. I haven't been to all these places. I've been to the majority of them. But I'm telling you, when I go to some of these places, I get chill bumps when I get around this stuff. I love history and I love all of these things. And when I see them and I'm around them and I'm able to get close to them, I get chill bumps because they represent something. They mean something to us today. I stood at the foot of Mount Rushmore and looked up. And I thought, boy, what a great symbol of freedom. I've been to Washington, D.C. numerous times and I've looked through that glass casement at that Declaration of Independence. I've looked as I've seen the names of men who, when they signed that Declaration of Independence, they might as well have signed their death certificate because that's what they were doing and they knew it when they did. I've seen that Declaration of Independence. It's a symbol of freedom. That Constitution of the United States, it's a symbol of freedom. All over the United States of America, there's World War I and World War II memorials. There's Korean War memorials. There's Vietnam memorials. There's Gulf War memorials. There's national cemeteries everywhere. Why? They're all symbols of freedom in this country. I tell you, one of the most moving experiences I've ever had outside of salvation is when I went to the National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. and saw the changing of the guards. I'm telling you, you know what? As a young man, when I first saw that, if I was, at that time I wasn't old enough, but if I was old enough, I'd have said, listen, where do I sign? Moving. You see, America has a proud heritage, folks, of freedom. America is still the greatest country on earth, and because freedom has made us great, evil people want to destroy everything that we've worked for, everything that millions of soldiers have sacrificed for over these past 234 years. They want to destroy our heritage. Our forefathers came to this land with the intent of establishing a free society, a place where rights and the integrity of people could be honored. Thus, when our forefathers landed, they gave God all the glory and began to build a life and a community built on biblical principle and the divine authority of the Word of God. That's what they established this country on. You see, the secular world doesn't like to hear that kind of stuff, though, because they've written their own history. They fabricated their own stories about why our forefathers came in, listen now, in direct opposition to written truth and the testimonies of the forefathers. As though their books supersede the testimony of the people that founded this country. Evil people. Our forefathers found this land that we called America and established a Bible-based government which included religious freedom. However, they were followed here by evil men. Men who were freedom destroyers that hounded our forefathers and their families night and day, even persecuted them. Why didn't they just leave them alone? Why didn't they just let them go? I'll tell you why. Because evil men who gave up their own freedom, who are still in bondage to the lustful sin, and they don't want anybody to rest. They don't want to have anybody in freedom. They're consumed with control and evil intent. And because they experience no freedom of heart, they don't want anybody else to experience any freedom of heart either. But may I say to you this morning, dear folk, just as that flag is a symbol of freedom to the United States, just like there's evil men that would do everything they can to destroy our country, may I say also, there's a real devil that's going to do everything he can to bring believers down and destroy the church of the living God. May I say to you today that if he had his way, he had robbed you of every freedom that you had in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why. Because before you and I even existed, he gave up his freedom because of his stinking pride. He forfeited heaven. And since he forfeited his freedom, he don't want you to have any either. You see, his anger is now vented toward the people of God and the church of the living God. You see, his goal is to destroy freedom in your life and my life. He wants you and I in bondage, just like he's made most of the world. Can I ask you, is freedom worth fighting for? Is freedom worth sacrificing for? Does your freedom mean anything to you? How much do we value our freedom? You see, our forefathers thought it so important that they were willing to protect it at any cost, even their lives. You see, they weren't willing to give up. They weren't willing to give in. They weren't willing to give over to the threats and attacks of the enemy. And may I say to you this morning, dear child of God, that today in 2010 in America, that's just as evil as it was in the day that our forefathers existed on this land. We don't have to, and neither do we. Should we give up, give in, or give over to the devil? 234 years, America has had to fight to stay free. Stay free from bondage. And may I say to you, her fight will never end. Because there are evil people that want to see that flag brought down. They want to see it burned. They want to see it destroyed. They don't want your freedoms or my freedoms to exist any longer. May I say to you this morning, dear child of God, neither is your fight for your religious freedoms, and neither is your fight against Satan. It will never end. May I say to you today that there's freedom available for you. Just like this country provides freedom, may I say to you this morning, there's another symbol that's very recognizable by all the world, and it likewise represents freedom. It's called the cross. You know, isn't it amazing when people see this? They either love it or hate it. But you know what that is? That's a symbol. Just like that flag's a symbol of American freedom, that cross is a symbol of religious freedom. That cross is a symbol that through Jesus Christ, I have every freedom in this world available to me because of Jesus. It's a symbol. And may I say to you that this and this symbol are synonymous. That's what our forefathers, when they came to this country, it was synonymous. They built this country on the Word of God. And may I say to you this morning, let today be our day here in our life. Let it be a day to be much observed. Let it be a day of freedom in your life. God in heaven is all about liberty and freedom. He's not about bondage. He's not about captivity. He's about freedom. He is our provider of freedom. I'm going to give you a few things to think about this morning about freedom. Because you know what? There's a God in heaven that wants you free. You see, the thing about it is, there's a lot of people here that already know Jesus Christ as Savior. And you've been set free from sin, but you've gone back into bondage. You've allowed the enemy to bring you back into bondage. And may I say to you this morning that Jesus Christ never intended that to be. Never intended that to be. Take your Bible, if you would please, this morning and turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Just as Israel walked through those gates into freedom from Egypt, may I say to you today that it's the same God that delivered the people of God from Egyptian bondage that's willing and can and able to deliver you this morning. That same freedom is exactly available for you and I. Why? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. The Scripture says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." And listen to this. "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Can I say to you this morning that first of all, you can be free from guilt. You can be free this morning from guilt. You see, some this morning, you say, "But preacher, my past." You have been held at gunpoint by your past for years. And may I say to you that Jesus Christ delivered you from that? May I say to you that that symbol of the cross has delivered you? That death, burial, and resurrection, the blood of Christ that was applied to your soul has delivered you? He's delivered you. See, all your sin when Jesus died on the cross, dear friend, all of it was in the future. He already knew what you were going to do. He already knew as He died over 2,000 years ago and He looked down through the eons of time and He saw your life and He saw my life. All my sin was in the future. And yet He was still willing to die. You know why? To provide freedom for you and I. To provide freedom from guilt. You see, your guilt finds its source in your broken fellowship with God. As a child of God, we slip away from Him from time to time, and people are out of church today. People give up on the things of God today. You know why? Guilt. They're being held at gunpoint by guilt. And they say, "I can't go to church anymore. I can't serve God anymore because of what I've done, and I just can't feel the same at church anymore. May I say to you, folks, you've already been freed from that. All you've got to do is accept the freedom. Accept what's been provided for you. Jesus has provided for you. You say, well, how can I get beyond the guilt? How can I get beyond it? The Bible has the answer. Here it is. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So you know what? When I come to this altar and the enemy says, you can't serve God, you can't serve in the bus ministry, you can't teach a Sunday school class, well, why not? Look what you've done. Look what your lifestyle. Look out, listen, what will people say? They know what you were before you got saved. How can you possibly serve? You know what you need to do? You need to take that guilt that Satan is trying to put a noose around your neck, and you need to leave it right here and say, wait a minute now. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, what happened is when you accepted Christ, He freed you. He freed you from guilt. Look at that verse. If we, that means we've got to initiate, confess, we've got to acknowledge it. He's faithful and just, means every time. And by the way, that word just means He understands who you are. You're a condemned sinner without Jesus Christ. He understands that we're but dust of the ground. And then He says He would forgive us our sins and cleanse us. One of my favorite words in that verse, all unrighteousness. You see, for those here today drowning in guilt over your life and actions, this can be a day to be much observed. This can be a day when you come to this altar and you said, listen, I'm leaving the guilt, I'm leaving the past, I'm leaving everything here because I'm turning facing the cross of Christ to serve Him with all my heart, with all my mind. You see, this can be a day to be much observed. You can walk out of this building today and you say, you know what? Man, I feel like the people of God when they walked out of Egypt. I'm free! I'm free! And you know who's going to give you that freedom? Not man. Not Dr. So-and-so. The cross is going to give you that freedom. See, the thing about it is we've spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to find out how to escape guilt. How do I get free from it? Jesus. But you know what? You're going to have to fight for it because the devil don't want to let you go. Today can be a day to be much observed. You can be free from guilt. Would you take your Bible, if you would, please? Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Psalm 31. Let me give you another one quickly. Psalm 31. Psalm chapter number 31. Psalm 31 in verse number 10. Psalm 31 verse 10. The scripture says, for my life, David says, is spent with grief, and by years with sighing. You don't turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, do you know the scripture says that Jesus was acquainted with grief? He understood all about your heartaches. And may I say to you, number two, not only can you be free from get free from guilt this morning, you can get free from grief. You can get free from grief. That sorrow, that pain of heart and mind, maybe it's happened over a loss of something or a misfortune or an injury or just something evil that's come your way. You see, your freedom from grief lies in your relationship with Jesus Christ as well. That void in your soul caused by your grief can be filled and sealed by the love of God. But you know where you're going to find that freedom? You're going to find it right here. It's where you're going to find it. You're going to find it in Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you here this morning, maybe you have grief in your soul caused by a loss, maybe a loss of a loved one, or maybe a friendship, maybe a job. Your heart's broken. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning, and when you went to work on Friday, they told you no longer had a job. You've got a mortgage payment. You've got a car payment. You've got bills. You've got children to provide for, and they told you no longer have a job. Maybe you're grieved in your soul this morning because of a loss of a job. Maybe you're grieved in your soul this morning over the loss of a loved one. You know, I know that eventually, if God allows me to live very many more years, I understand there's going to come a day I'm going to experience the grief of the loss of a loved one. Whether it be a mom, a dad, a wife, a child, whatever it be, I know that day's coming. And let me tell you something. I don't know how people deal with it without Christ. I don't know how they did. Listen, I don't care if you lost a loved one 40 years ago. That grief pops its head up from time to time and tries to swell itself up and bring your spirit, your soul into captivity. Can I say to you this morning, you can be free. You can be free. You know where you're going to get that freedom? You're going to get it through the cross of Christ. Why? It's the symbol of freedom this morning. May I say to you that some of you this morning, it may be grief caused by loss. Some, it may be grief caused by misfortune. Maybe you lost your home in this recession, or maybe you were in an accident that totaled your car. Maybe you have a permanent injury, or maybe you have an ongoing health problem. And you cry out to God every day, Lord, why? I don't understand why. Why is all this happening? You know, I don't know of anybody that could possibly have experienced more grief than Job experienced. Lost everything. Lost his fortune. Lost his health. Lost his family. Lost his kids. You don't think that man went through grief? We don't have time to go. Listen, I got a list of verses where he references grief as long as your arm. Let me tell you something. All through there, he said, you know what? These lips right here, see his lips right here? They're not going to curse God. See these hands right here? They're not going to stop serving God. Did Job understand? No, he didn't understand because he wasn't privy to inside information. He wasn't privy to what God already knew. But maybe some of you here are grieved caused, maybe there's grief caused by misfortune. Maybe some of you have grief caused by family disappointments. Maybe you've had a marriage explode on you. Maybe you've had kids bolt on you. Maybe you've been abandoned this morning. You're a young person. You don't understand. You're living with an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or grandpa. You say, Mama or grandma or grandpa, where's my parents? Maybe they bolted on you. You've had grief that you've held in your heart. Can I say to you this morning, there's freedom for you. Do you know that today for you can be a day to be much observed? This can be a day for you when you walk away from this altar and you walk away free. Man, I wish I could have seen what it was like for Israel to come walking out of Egypt. Can you imagine never having experienced freedom? Ever. And they say, okay, you can go. Well, what are we going to do? I don't know, but we're leaving. Let me tell you something. That's what Christ provides. He provides freedom from guilt, freedom from grief. Maybe some of you this morning are carrying grief caused by evil people. Maybe there's someone lied about you or gossiped about you or stabbed you in the back. May I say to you that the Bible is very plain that Christ's grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for you. There's sufficient love. There's sufficient forgiveness. You say, I just don't know if I can go on. Oh, yes, let me tell you something. Because of Christ, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Oh, yeah, you know why? Because freedom exists. Freedom from guilt. And freedom from grief. But I would be unjust this morning if I didn't say number three. And not only can you have freedom from guilt as a child of God, as a child of God, some of you need to come and get freedom from grief. But may I say to you, number three this morning, there is a percentage of people here that need freedom from a godless eternity. You're going to need freedom from a godless eternity. Would you take your Bible quickly to turn to Revelation 20 with me for just a moment? Revelation chapter 20. Let me tell you something, dear friend. I love our country. I love our flag. I love what this country stands for. But let me tell you something. I love Jesus as well. I love the symbol of the cross. I love the flag, but I love the cross of Christ more. I love the things of God more. And I'd be doing you, I would be being unjust with you if I didn't tell you this morning that there's some this today that need freedom from a godless eternity. Look, if you would, at verse 15. The Scripture says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, that means forever. That means it never ends. That means once a person enters eternity without Jesus, it's forever. All that you've ever experienced with freedom in this country is over. There is no more freedom. All that you could have had because of freedom that cross provided is all gone. No freedom. Can you imagine someone telling you that you will be in captivity? You will be tormented and tortured forever? You know your mind cannot comprehend forever? Can't comprehend it! And yet, there are some this morning, you need freedom from a godless eternity. You see, truth that Jesus Christ gave us, John chapter 8, He said, you know what that truth will do, the gospel will do? It'll set you free, and if you're free, you're free indeed. That's what can set you free this morning, is believing and trusting Jesus Christ. You say, believe what, preacher? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that He died on a cross for your sins. Believe that He went to a grave in 3 days and 3 nights, rose from the dead. Accept the fact that you are captive to your sin and you can't control your freedom. You've been a POW. And you know what? The only way that you're going to get free is if somebody comes get you. Only way you're going to get out is if somebody comes and frees you, because you can't free yourself. Say, man, I want to be free, preacher. All right, the Scripture says that today, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, today, it can be a day to be much observed. You can come this morning, find Christ, and begin to experience freedom beyond your fondest dreams. Because you know what? He has that freedom from guilt. He provides that freedom from grief this morning. But He also provides freedom from a godless eternity. Some in this auditorium this morning, this needs to be a day to be much observed for you. May you come this morning and find that freedom from your guilt from the past. Some of you need to come and find relief from the grief and sorrow of life. But may I say, some need to come and find freedom from a godless eternity without God, without Christ forever and ever and ever. You enjoy freedom, don't you? I'm talking about freedom forever here, my friend. I'm not talking about freedom just till you die. I'm talking about freedom forever and ever and ever. You know what it needs to be to you? It needs to be to you like it was to Israel when God delivered them from Egypt. It was a night to be much observed. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you this morning would say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's my home. I've been born again. I've accepted Christ as my Savior.